Genesis chapter 25. The message today is the birthrights and blessings of Jacob. The birthrights and blessings of Jacob. Notice I made them plural. I want to read several passages to you. Follow them as we consider this subject. Chapter 25. Verse 23, in answer to Rebecca's prayer, wondering what's happening within her when finally she conceives children, this is what it says in verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two peoples shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, chapter 27. And while you're turning there, just briefly, that when Esau comes back from hunting and he's famished, Jacob makes a bargain with him and will feed him if he will give him his birthright, and he does. And so now in chapter 27, look at verse 24. Jacob is pretending to be Esau, and his poor old blind father suspects something, and he says in verse 24, are you my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. Now, verse 27. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. And God give thee of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and new wine. Let peoples serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. And now, look at verse 33. And Isaac trembled when he learned the deception. And said, who then is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before you came, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Now, look at 47, chapter 47. Verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how many are the days of the years of thy life? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Now, chapter 48, verse 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. Now, look at verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me here. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. And he did. Now, chapter 49. Verse 1, And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the latter days. And we read this chapter, and you say, well, there's nothing about blessing there, but look at verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is that their father spake unto them, and bless them, every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And so God says, chapter 49, three times, that it is a blessing. And I will quote to you from Numbers chapter 6, what God said to Aaron. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and give thee peace. And all of these that I've told you about and read to you have been birthrights and blessings. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that this book that you have given us is not only a book about heaven and angels, but about earth and men and women who are like we are. We thank you that we can learn from these things. Your son said to Nicodemus, If I've told you earthly things and you understand not, how shall you understand heavenly things? And so we pray, our God, that at least today, these earthly things that we've read about in the life of Jacob, we shall understand. And just why he is the man of birthrights and blessings. So we look to thee for good in this respect. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Different ones of us collect different things. When I was a young boy, even before my teens, I collected marbles. And whenever I would meet any of my companions on the school ground, we would play marbles. But I never just played marbles for the game. I would only play if we played for keeps, which meant at that young age, I was gambling. But as one man said, when I was playing with them, it was no gamble because I always won. There was nobody who ever beat me until I was 13 years old, and even then they did not win, and I just as soon tell you this, that they brought all the competition from North Carolina against me and put it on exhibition at Pullen Park in Raleigh, and I won the championship, and they sent me to New York City to shoot exhibition matches. That was when I was 13 years old. But I wanted marbles. I would get all the marbles I could get. And I remember that I would keep them in a big shoebox, and it was full of marbles. And I would slide it under my bed every night as I would look at it before I went to bed. And you say, well, that's a childish thing. Indeed it is, but what do you gather? Tell me. Some of you gather flowers. Some of you gather jewelry. Some people gather old cars. You gather different things. And so all of those things are carnal things, fleshly things. But in the case of Jacob, as much as we would like to criticize him, there is nothing that he gathered, that he wanted, that was unworthy of God. Everything that Jacob wanted was something spiritual. Now think of the things that you want. You say, the things that I want are physical, material things. And if this is so, then if you look at Jacob and criticize him, you should not criticize him, because the things that he wanted were spiritual things. And what is so remarkable is that his life was filled with birthrights and blessings. You say, well, how can you have more than one birthright? How can you have more than one blessing? Not only can you have more, but even before Jacob came into the world, he was blessed of God. That is why I read to you in chapter 25. His mother conceived, and there were twins in her womb. She was not aware of that. And she went to God for an explanation. And then God himself spoke about the birth and the birthright of these two sons. And what was to happen was this. The elder son was Esau, but God said, the elder shall serve the younger. And so there was a switch. Before Jacob ever came into the world, he had received a divine blessing from heaven from God, that even though he was the younger of the two, he was to receive the birthright of the elder. And this was of God. Now, you will have to ask this question for me, because I'm not able to tell you. Did Rebekah go and tell her husband, Isaac, or did she keep it a secret? You say, well, she couldn't help but tell him. I remember that when the Virgin Mary conceived, she did not tell her husband anything. And God had to tell him from heaven. But if you take it for granted that he did, then whenever you see the activities of Jacob on earth, you would have to interpret it in a different way. And so I leave it to you whether everybody knew the prophecy of God or whether they were ignorant of this prophecy of God. But this is the first birthright blessing that Jacob ever received. It was from God. And this is what God says again and again. He says in Leviticus, he said, I will command the blessing. At that time, it meant that they were not to plant on the year of Jubilee. And God said, I will give you enough produce that one year to last you 3 years. He said, I will command the blessing. And that was a difficult thing to believe, that God would give you so much in one year that if you obeyed him, there would be abundance of food until the third year when another crop would come in. But God said, I will command the blessing. And in the Psalms, he said, there he commanded the blessing. And so when God gives a blessing, it is an infallible blessing. It is a sure blessing. And that was the first birthright and blessing that Jacob received before he came into the world. And for that reason, I'm wondering, because if God had already told him that he was going to be the one to be in the position of the elder, why would he have to buy this birthright from his brother Esau? Whatever. He was making sure that all the privileges that came with being the firstborn were his. And he was so calculating that he waited until the opportunity arose, and his brother Esau, who was a man of the field and a hunter, came in exhausted, and evidently this day he had taken no gain. And he came in and he said, I'm at the point of death. I must have something to eat or I'm going to die. And Jacob, who was a practiced cook, was stirring a pot of lentils, red lentils. And Esau smelled that food and he was famished. And he said, give me something to eat. And Jacob said, I will if you will sell me your birthright. And Esau said, what good is my birthright if I'm going to die? He said, yes, I will give you my birthright for some of those lentils that you're cooking. And Jacob said to him, swear to me, swear. And so Esau swore. And then Jacob turned over all the bread and lentils, anything he wanted to eat. And it says this, that Esau ate and he despised his birthright. Strange, when the birthright was so important for this reason. The birthright meant that you were the beginning and the strength of your father. It meant that you carried on the father's name. If you were the son of a king, it meant you were the next king, and it carried with it the dignity and the preeminence. All of this was associated with the birthright. And Jacob knew that. And he said, I must have this birthright and all that goes along with it. Now, I wonder if any of you are concerned about the birthright, carrying on the good name that you inherited. Some people inherit a good name and some people inherit a bad name. But please forgive, but I must tell you again, I am the firstborn son of a firstborn son of a firstborn son. And among all the Millses, there were 10 of us, I never let them forget that I am the preeminent Mills. Why? Because some of them were older than I was. But my father was the firstborn, and even though I was born later, I was his firstborn, and therefore, even though they're older when we get together, I tell them, I am the chief Mills. Never forget that. And it shall be that way until I die, because I've never sold any birthright that is mine. And you try to honor the name. And thank God for this. All my cousins to whom I've spoken, I've tried to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a dignity and there was a glory to being called the firstborn. And it says this, that Esau despised his birthright. He said to himself, well, if I'm going to die, what good will the birthright do me? And so that is something to think about. Think of your name, and perhaps if you look back far enough, you will find someone in your family that amounted to something, that had a reputation, and now you are here, and someone can think of your ancestor and say, are you descended from him? It happened to me on one occasion. I was applying for a lowly job, and the man asked me, who are you? And I told him, and he said, was your grandfather John A. Mills? I said, yes. He said, I knew the man, and I would give him wide berth. And so I was delighted. Here is an ancestor that had some importance, and I was glad that I was associated with him. I could tell you about some of my other ancestors, of whom I am not proud, but I'm not going to tell you about them. But there is the birthright, and Jacob understood the importance of the birthright, and so he was willing to do anything to get that birthright, even though God had told him prophetically that it was his sovereignly bestowed by God. Now, not only did he want birthrights, but he wanted blessings as well. Jacob was both one who wanted blessings and was a blesser himself. And when you look at him, his behavior is reprehensible, it's presumptuous, and yet, who is the firstborn son who possesses the birthright of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, the one that God has promised that his seed should fill the earth, be as the stars of heaven? Who is his firstborn son? And Jacob would say, I am. And therefore, he takes for granted all the dignity associated with the birthright. And therefore, when he would come into the presence of any person, he said, I will pronounce a blessing upon you. Now, I want you to think of this. Think of the greatest sovereign on earth in the days of Jacob and Joseph. It was Pharaoh. And this old man, 130 years old, is brought into the presence of the greatest king on earth. And as soon as he comes in, he says, Pharaoh, he said, I'm going to bless you. And this king bows his head and is blessed by Jacob. And then when he leaves, he said, I'm going to bless you again. And he blesses Pharaoh again. You say, such presumption, how could he do that? I tell you this, that if I went before the most important man in the world, and he was not a child of God, I would go and I would be in the position to bless him. He has no blessing he could bestow upon me. He could give me some material gifts. But as for having power with God, to cry unto God, and to have assurance that God will answer that prayer and bestow spiritual blessings upon him, no earthly human being, no matter how important he is, has that power. But Jacob said, I have that power. Who are you? I am the firstborn son of the firstborn son of the firstborn son. Sometimes it is bestowed upon him, even though he isn't firstborn. This is what it says in the Psalms. God says, I will make him my firstborn. Who was the youngest son of Jesse? You say, why? It was David. God says in the Psalms, I will make him my firstborn. Preeminence, and that is what God did. God can take the youngest and bestow upon him that authority and dignity of being the firstborn, and that is what he did. And so you have Abraham, who was not the oldest of Terah's children, and you have Isaac, who was not the oldest of Abraham's children, and you have Jacob, who was not the oldest of Isaac's children, and yet God had bestowed upon them the dignity and title of firstborn. And once it was Jacob's possession, he never let it go. He betrayed it for nothing. And for that reason, God honored the man. And that is why I could honor ever so many of you here if your intent was that of wanting spiritual blessings. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But what happens is this. These spiritual blessings that are yours, you have no appreciation for them, and you would gladly exchange all of these spiritual blessings if someone would give you a mess of pottage. You say, how can you say that? Well, let me ask you, how much time do you spend in the Word of God studying it? How much time do you spend praying? How much time do you spend each week filling a basket full to bring something to the glory of God? How much time do you spend trying to win souls for Christ? This is what the Apostle Paul could say. He said, I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, that I may finish my course and the ministry which God has given unto me to preach the gospel of the grace of God. He said, I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself. It meant more to him than life itself. And you, I think, I'm so sad because this building used to be full of people. And now it's like we are in Goldsboro. We get smaller. Why? Because we are departing from the faith? God forbid. But it is because there are not those who understand that God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And they say, well, we will worship God this way. It is like unto Jeroboam, who understood that Rehoboam was in Jerusalem and he would worship God according to truth, the way it's set forth in the scriptures, but the people would leave him if he worshiped God that way. And so Jeroboam set up his own religion, and the children of Israel were quite willing to follow Jeroboam and his false religion. And this is what is so sad, that among us who gather to the name of the Lord, and I assure you, as when I first went to an assembly so many years ago, when I went in and saw the strange things that were happening, I said, why do you do things this way? This old brother said to me, show me anything that we are doing contrary to the Word of God, and I will change it. And I've never been able to show him a thing. To gather the first day of the week, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to break the bread, to drink the fruit of the vine, to preach the gospel, to teach, to reprove, rebuke, exhort, all of this, that there is no clergy, no laity, that you do not join the church, but when you are saved, you are joined to the church. All of those truths that were sacred years ago, they mean nothing if you have a big denomination that has a choir, that has atmosphere, that has outward glory. All of these things are attractive to man, and men will leave. But I thank God that having learned the truth as set forth in the Word of God, I've never left it. And may I tell you that the most important Baptist minister in Raleigh years ago said to me as a young man, he said, son, do you want me to get a church for you? And with a telephone call, I could have had a church with automobile and home and guaranteed salary. And I said, no, thank you. I'm satisfied with what I have. Why? Because it was the things of God. And so whatever criticism you may have for one that gathers to the name of the Lord, understand that it is precious to him. To you, he is precious. And so do not sell the truth, but buy the truth and sell it not. But these things mean nothing today. If there was a better preacher, if there is a better musical program, if it's something of the flesh, why yes, we will go to that because that is attractive. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That is the important thing. And understand that Satan will try to woo you away by something that is glorious to the flesh. Do you remember? When the Savior was tempted, Satan took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. And he said, I'll give it to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And the Savior said, get thee hence, Satan. And that is what we should say if anyone says, if you go to this denomination, if you go to this place that is contrary to the Word of God, there will be more glory, there will be more prestige. Do you not understand that? And I ask, will the Lord Jesus be in the midst? Will he be waiting to meet with me when I'm there? And so remember, the Lord Jesus was offered all the kingdoms of the world if he would worship Satan. And he said, get thee hence, Satan. And the Savior said this, well, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now think. Here is a man that comes in hungry from hunting. And Jacob says to him, give me the most precious thing that you possess, and I'll give you a pot of lentils. And Esau says, it's a bargain. So think of that. And the Lord Jesus is shown the world. And Satan says, I'll give you this if you'll worship me. And the Savior says, get thee hence, Satan. And so, what have you been offered lately that will draw your heart away from the Lord? Nothing is more precious than your birthright, that you are a child of God, that the Lord Jesus meets the first day of the week. And so, let it be precious. To you who believe, he is precious. So, never let these things become commonplace. Those that are less important than things of the world. This is what John tells us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so you are dealing in things that are passing. And if you exchange the blessings that God has for you for these material things at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have a handful of ashes. And this is what God wants you to know. And think of this. How could anyone such as Judas Iscariot be with the Savior 3 years? The Lord of glory, God manifests in the flesh, and he goes to the authorities and says to them, what will you give me if I'll turn him over to you? And they say, 30 pieces of silver. And Judas says, it's a bargain. And so he takes the precious Son of God and in exchange for 30 pieces of silver, he turns over the Lord from heaven. So think of the exchanges that you're making in the world. And you're going to criticize Jacob? He would do anything to get spiritual blessings. And most of the people of God will do anything to get physical blessings. And so I will criticize you, and you criticize me, if I'm exchanging these physical things, if I'm selling the truth and not buying the truth. But Jacob never did that. He wanted birthrights and he wanted blessings. And he was prepared to go to any limit to get those blessings. What happened is that his mother, Rebekah, heard old Isaac telling his son Esau, I don't know when I'm going to die, but it could be any day now, and I want you to go out and kill me a deer and prepare that venison that I love. And then I'll eat it, and I'll pronounce my blessing upon you. And Rebekah hears it, and she agrees with her son to deceive Isaac. And I read you about that. And so what happens is this, that Isaac's son, Jacob, is prepared to lie, to steal, to kiss his father, to deceive his father, but for a spiritual blessing. How strange that some of us, for a physical blessing, will give up everything. And Jacob was willing to give up everything to receive a spiritual blessing. And he got it. And when his father saw the mistake that he made, he said to Esau, "I have blessed him." He said, "Yea, and he shall be blessed." There was no taking that blessing back. And so now, he had the blessing of the firstborn. He had the birthright of the firstborn, and he had it in his power to bless anyone into whose life he came. Even if it's a Pharaoh, he had that power to pronounce blessing upon him. And whenever he comes to his own children, he says this. He said, "I'm going to bless you as well." When Joseph brings his two sons to Jacob, Jacob says to him, "Who are these?" He said, "They are the sons that God has given me here in Egypt." And Jacob says, "Well, I'm taking these sons. I'm expropriating these sons. They are mine. Any children you have later on, they can be yours. But these are mine." And so here, he is taking more children into his life. And Joseph, his son, acknowledges it. And now Manasseh and Ephraim are brought into the blessings of God because Jacob wants more children. And the remarkable thing is this, that when the children are brought to him, he says, "I will now bless them." And he crosses his hands. I can't tell you about that now. And then he blesses Joseph. And then he has all his sons to come. And he says, "Come and I'm going to tell you what shall befall you in the last days." And so then we read in Genesis 49 the destinies of the ones that are coming into the future. And there is his power to pronounce these blessings. And at the same time, it seems as if at times he's pronouncing a curse, but that's all that he can do. It's just like Isaac said when Esau said, "Bless me, my father." He said, "I've given you everything that I can. All the rich blessings are given to your brother Jacob." He said, "Well, bless me at least with this." And so what Jacob does when he comes to his sons, he gives them what blessings he can, but he takes into consideration the life that they have lived. And what you and I want to do is this. We want to go and live the lust of the flesh, the life of the flesh, and go into God's presence and say, "Now bless me." Well, I want you to read even what Jacob, the father of these sons, was not able to do in bringing a blessing into their lives. And I'm thinking of this right now. Which of you fathers and mothers are worthy and have power with God so that if you pronounced a blessing upon your children, God would hear you? Could you say, "Father, I've dedicated my life to you. I've given myself to you. Now, I want you to look upon me with favor and bless my son, my daughter, bless my children, bring good things into their lives." Unless you have a life above reproach, how could you say such a thing? And yet, God, inasmuch as by hook or crook, Jacob was firstborn and also inherited the blessing, he had been empowered by God to bestow blessings. And I'm wondering how many of you fathers and mothers could actually think that if you went into the presence of God and prayed to God, God, on the merits of what you have done for him and lived for him and how spiritual you are, God would answer that prayer. or even Jacob, knew that God would answer his prayer. And so he prays and pronounces blessings upon his children as best he could, and God answered his prayer. So Jacob is the man of birthrights and blessings, a man filled with sin and deceit and corruption, and yet his heart longed for spiritual things. Let us at least be like Jacob in that respect. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we remember your son speaking about taking a mote out of our brother's eye when our own eyes are filled with such contamination. We pray, our God, that we shall examine our lives and see if there is any reason that you should look upon us and answer our prayers, not only in the name of your Son, which is the only true basis, but our Father, because we could say, I've lived a life above reproach. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Our Father, let us live lives that are worthy, so you will look upon us and say, as you said concerning Job, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? So look upon us as your children. Let us be above reproach, and as your son, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let us, Father, be deserving to bring good things into the lives of our children, to pray to thee, and know, Father, that there is no sin in our life to cause you to look upon us and refuse to answer our prayers. And so bless the saints at Pembroke, our God, and let them grow stronger, and may the things of Christ grow more precious to them. And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall appear, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Hear us, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.